From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
We're at a cusp, the coming of fall, and that is not a time to lament, but rather to take in what the new season and the one beyond it have to offer, each to its own. So says Margaret, that's me, and so says Tova Martin in her latest book, The Garden in Every Sense and Season. We'll have timely advice for both to-dos and an attitude adjustment, should you need one, but first this message.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Tova Martin gardens on 7 acres in Connecticut with some goats, a cat, and a whole lot of plants, both indoors and out. She's the author of Tasha Tudor's Garden and many other popular garden books. Welcome back to the show, Tova.
Hello, Margaret.
Yes, I've been spending time with your book.
Well, thank you.
Yes,
it was really fun to work on The Garden in Every Sense and Season.
Yeah, in the book you say you woke up one day and kind of looked out at, you know, this very familiar place. How long have you been at your garden?
Ooh, since 96.
Yeah, so not a brand new place, but you kind of realized that you weren't realizing your full sensory potential, you say. Tell us about how it came to be, like what that epiphany was.
You know, I think this is universal. Gardeners tend to be very chore-oriented.
Yes.
We just go around and we basically weed and water and do all, you know, the tasks of gardening. And we forget what, you know, this beautiful habitat that we've created and everything it has to offer us. That if you really, plug into it, you can really feel, feel it on all levels. You can gain all sorts of stimuli from it.
Yes. And so to that end, the book's it's kind of a series of essays, I guess I'd say, arranged. Like the chapters are like seasons, and then within each chapter, there's each sense. So there's a set of essays within each chapter that is about each sense, yes?
Yeah, and yes. And, you know, I was thinking about how to present this, and the way I thought it would, the way it sort of came to me was if I plugged in each sense, you know, and it very much changes throughout the season. I wanted it to be very immediate because gardening is very immediate. And if you talk about, if you're in summer and talking, you know, you really need to think summer thought.
Yeah.
And you really need to think of the garden on all those levels. Let all those stimuli register in your mind. That's what it's all about.
Right.
And giving those time, you know, again, how often do we really think about listening? You know, how often do we really listen to our garden?
To the sound, right, exactly.
Yeah,
it has a voice, doesn't it? It has a voice.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that changes all the time. And noting the changes in the season, that here we are, as you said, on the cusp of autumn, so beautifully said. And there are different sounds that come into play that we, you know, maybe fewer thunderstorm sounds, and more the sound of the crackle of the leaves underfoot. That sort of sound,
yeah.
You know, you can almost hear the crispness,
yeah,
of autumn,
yeah.
The crunch of the apple, you know, that you're tasting,
yeah. And so I find that there's sort of a musical accompaniment to each season outside. And so the one that's just passed that I've been lamenting lately is the sort of dawn chorus, the birds that until July, August, you know, they were doing the morning sort of swell of song, and because they were all breeding and doing their things, raising families. And then that starts to dissipate, and then it's quiet. But then there's those hot days just before the sort of cusp we're at now, those hot and hot nights sometimes, and you get all those sort of rattling rattling, crickety, cicada-y noises. Do you know what I mean?
And yeah, and they sort of echo into the evening. it's so wonderful because it does, at night you do, you know, there's this wonderful reverberation
of it,
and partly because it feels like it's almost like a void because it's dark out.
Yeah. So you want us, in this book, you want us to like not just rush out to, I've got to mow the lawn, I've got to weed the vegetables, you know. You don't want us to do that. You want us to really engage each of the senses in each season. And so, you know, I wanted to kind of, as I said, there's these essays in each chapter arranged by the senses. And, you know, so let's talk about some of those. Like, so one in sight, and it comes up in sight in both the spring and in the fall. I think the color blue, which I have very little of at all in my garden, but I was struck that it comes up a few times in your book, spring bulbs as well as some indoor things. So let's talk about, and fall perennials, let's talk about the color blue.
The color blue, you just said you have very little of it in your garden. And that's because there are so few true blue flowers when you think about it.
Yeah.
They're mostly purple.
Yeah.
There's very few true blues, but in spring you get the grape hyacinths and that wonderful blue of the grape hyacinths, and you also get the many of the bulbs have what we call the minor bulbs,
the
like
little
Cynodoxa.
Right.
They have this wonderful blue color that doesn't happen in any other time of year except for autumn. Autumn you get the, of course, the wonderful asters like Radon's favorite, and that really see from a distance blue. Some of the phlox are that color, and you also get that wonderful color of the not only the asters but the monk's hood.
Aconitums,
that real fervent blue that makes you stop and look at it. You because it's such a rare color,
and it's a contrast, isn't it, against what the rest of nature is starting to do, which is sort of a lot of foliage is fading to a lighter green or to yellow. It's going to start to heat up the foliage to other colors, and blue looks especially in contrast to that, I guess, right?
Exactly. Blue is the complement of those colors. And so what you just said was the synthesis of making your own masterpiece.
Oh.
You know, you're doing your own artwork day by day that changes day by day, and you've just captured exactly what I was trying to urge people to do, is think about who they are as an artist in a way, because as a gardener you are an artist.
Right, and maybe I'm thinking that way because I've just been reading your book, Tova, so don't give me too much credit, but you know, the interesting thing is, so I was reading, you know, you were talking about the asters in contrast against the evolving, you know, descent into fall foliage and so forth, and that contrast, and I was thinking, yeah, but I really like pink chrysanthemums and pink against it too, because there's something sort of bawdy about, you know, like there's that Sheffield pink pale one, and there's Will's Wonderful, the really hot pink one, and you know, and I love against the red and orange and yellow, I love that pink thing too. So there's,
but you're thinking it through again.
Yeah,
you know, you're thinking like an artist, and this is your canvas.
Right,
and you're thinking about the foliage. This wonderful time of year. I'm not sure we think about foliage so much in spring, and in summer, you know, everybody's fervent about flowers and that sort of thing. But in autumn, I think that's time that so many of us put the foliage into the dialogue there.
Yeah. So a couple of the things we just talked about, like the spring bulbs, and it's time right now to order bulbs. Actually, we probably all should have gotten our act together and ordered them already before they were sold out of the extra special little ones that we wanted.
Yeah.
Whatever.
There's time.
I'm getting to it, Tova. But in the book, you say we should bombard our senses with bulbs. And I think I underdo it here. I mean, I have sort of a Narcissus spring moment, but I think I really underdo it. And you're talking about indoors and out. So you do hyacinths indoors. Now, I have to confess to you that I have never forced a hyacinth. I've gotten this far without ever doing it. Tell me about them.
Well, you know, once you start, Margaret, you're going to be you can't not do it. Every year, I think I don't need to do that. And then if I didn't, you know, suddenly there's that moment in like December when I think, oh my goodness, I've got to see if anybody has any hyacinths left because I'm going to be so bereft if I don't do this. You know, here we are as gardeners, and it's part of planning ahead. And I think gardeners do that so much. We really think in the future, and that's what autumn is partly about, is that, you know, putting your assets in,
right.
Planting your
right,
assets.
Right.
So as far as being I am a ardent bulb forcer. And hyacinths are the very, very easiest.
So I mean, they are. What do I do? Do I order them now? And what do I do?
101.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Okay.
They start with hyacinths, and you'll feel sort of liberated, and that you'll, you know, start doing the rest of them. Hyacinths, what I do is I just buy the bulbs. I always buy bulbs mail order, just because I'm sure that they've gotten their proper chilling and they haven't gotten too warm.
They haven't gotten dried out in the store, in the box store. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I order whatever, you know, the color range is phenomenal on hyacinths. It really goes the full spectrum. We were talking about blue a few minutes ago. There's every blue, purple, you know, combo that you could ask for, sometimes in the same flower.
Mm-hmm.
So you order what you like, because it doesn't really matter. They're not specific ones that need to be forcers.
Okay.
And some bloom earlier than others. But what I do is I just, when that package comes, I just put the bulbs right into the refrigerator.
Okay.
I forget about them for, you know, until I have time, which is usually sometime after Thanksgiving. And in fact, you know, Thanksgiving weekend is a great time to do that, if you have time. So then I take them out of the out of the refrigerator. And the thing about hyacinths is that they have, you really need to wear gloves when you're working with them. They have these little, you know, sort of crystals in the bulbs that can cause a rash in some people. So always handle them with gloves. Very important for the touch thing.
Okay.
Then you take them out of the refrigerator. You could do this two ways. The easiest thing, you know, I love bulb forcers. You know those kind of Victorian wasp waste?
Yes, like a jar.
Know,
but,
Mm-hmm. They have those wonderful glass vases that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just fill them with water up to the up to where the bulb sits in the little cup.
Yeah.
And balance the bulb in there, and then I put them on a cool window. Now, here's the real reveal here, is that my home is quite chilly.
Mm-hmm. And by the windows,
it's even chillier.
Okay. So they're not cooking along right away.
They're
waking up
slowly.
They're
still, There's no point that my house, I would wish it would get 70, but it's not going to happen. You know, late fall and early winter, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a chilly house, and I just put them on the windowsill and wait. And after, the whole choreography of that, watching that happen, is like drama.
So they send down roots into the water, and then they send up growth.
And then they begin to, and sometimes they don't even send that many roots down.
Oh.
They just start to unfold.
Crazy.
You just watch the little bulb erupt, which is fascinating. At that time of year, it's just like, what else are you going to watch?
Yeah. the snow.
Yeah. And so it's just that easy. And if you really wanted to plant them, you could also plant them, but you don't need to.
You mean
either
outside
way.
Or in for inside forcing still, like
yeah,
in a pot?
Yeah, you could put them in some soil.
Like you might an amaryllis or something, or would you bury them completely?
I don't leave the whole top up.
Okay.
But I don't leave the whole top up on an amaryllis either.
Okay.
I bury it to the, the neck.
Right. And so do you bury these to the neck? Okay. So not like a narcissus out in the garden where it's under a couple inches of soil.
You don't have to be
okay.
several inches
okay. Okay.
down. And just, put them in and wait. And they don't even need the chilling period. Now, my other bulbs, and this is my part of my winter's entertainment. Part of my winter's entertainment is my houseplants. But
yes,
I just looking out and watching the bark of the trees and all those things that are laid bare suddenly. With narcissus, you have to do a chilling period. What I do while they put down roots, so. I know this is nuts. It's absolutely crazy, but I actually put them in pots in the refrigerator.
Right. And I know people who have an old fridge maybe in their cellar or whatever, the kind of backup fridge kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that. And it's funny, if you go in the fall, early winter, that's what's in their extra fridge.
Can I give you a little tip on that?
Yeah.
When you put them in the pot, put tin foil over the container because it confuses the thermostat. The humidity of the potted plant confuses the thermostat sometimes on the refrigerator.
Okay.
So I just put a little tin foil over it.
Okay.
And I check them periodically. It's going to take, depending upon what variety you use and that sort of thing, it takes usually between 4 to 8 weeks, sometimes 12. On the tulips, I do tulips too, and I do the, I love the little species tulips.
Yes.
They're so fast.
Yeah.
They're really fast. I mean, in a month, they start making growth. So it's almost as close as you're going to come to instant gratification. Very fulfilling.
Of course, I've never done any of those things. I've just done things like amaryllis, the easy, easy, easy. But good. So the hyacinths and some of these other things are possible. I want to leave some time to talk about fall and the cleanup, because that was another part of the book I was just really enjoying. You say, brown is not a tragedy. Brown is a happy ending. And I really laughed out loud because I saw the phrase also that you recommend spot cleaning in your fall section about cleanup, about garden cleanup, because I always say that to people. I say, this is spot cleaning. You pick it apart, a spot at a time. You don't do it like you're cleaning the whole living room and vacuuming from corner to corner. You spot clean to take the garden apart. So tell us a little bit, for a couple minutes, tell us about your sort of approach to fall cleanup.
Well, you captured it because there's so much that every plant can give you.
Yeah.
So why not let it play itself out to the end? And it makes for a garden that changes so much day to day if you do it that way. You're not cutting it. You're not, just going out there and laying it bare. You're just going out and saying, "Well, this is looking pretty. This is looking pretty tired, and not really looking great. This certain plant is not looking great right now. So I'm going to take that out." And then all of a sudden, you notice that other things are stepping out,
mm-hmm.
and so it gives you this. It's this, Margaret. It's this wonderful. I know you know this, but I just have to talk about it one second. to listeners, is that it's this wonderful sense of being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you are helping to orchestrate this, and it's partly this collaboration you've got.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you working, you know, not even being the conductor, you're being a co-conspirator in the whole thing.
Right, and sort of gardening by reduction during fall cleanup,
you're helping to change the scene, you're working with the scene, and you're, again, it's everything, because we're just talking so much about sight, but it's also the feel of doing this, and the feel of the clip, 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 and listening to the clip, clip, clip. So you're and the listening of the rake, 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 you know, of the crunch, crunch, crunch. I always say that, you know, nobody is ever going to sneak up on my house in autumn.
No.
Because it'll be crunchy.
No, true. The footsteps, you're absolutely right. You're right. So in the last minute or two, you know, what follows fall, of course, is the W word, winter.
Yeah.
And you've mentioned some of the things about that. And you mentioned, like, looking out at the bark and things like that. Are there, you know, speaking of sort of cleanup and things you might leave standing, like, I have some Simisi fugas that I can see from my, that's probably not even what they're called anymore, but you know what I mean,
Actes. Yeah.
I think it's just racemosa or something.
Actes.
Yeah, and they have those long wands, and right now there's those sort of, like, little dots where the flowers were, you know, they have these beautiful sort of seed head kind of things. And so I never take those down, even though they... parts of them look ratty, because I love looking at them through the winter, you know, and certain grasses I leave up. What are some of the things you're looking forward to seeing out your windows? You know what I mean? Examples that you're going to
leave. Here you go, because let's use the Simisi fuga or Actes,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it, example. Through this process, I was like, of course, shoveling my way down to my goat barn one morning, and I heard this racket going on, and I also heard sort of swishing going on, and looked over and noticed that all these birds were landing on those stems, the Simisi fuga stems that I left. And yes, they looked ratty, but they're And some of them were falling over, but a lot of them were still standing strong. And the birds were landing on them, pecking at them, really, you know, pulling out the seeds.
Right.
And it was so fulfilling for me as a co-conspirator that, or as a host.
Well,
you know?
It's one more thing we have in common then is looking out the window at that particular plant. Tova, I want to thank you so much, and I've been enjoying, as I said, the garden in every sense and season. We'll have a book giveaway with the transcript on awaytogarden.com, and I hope I'll talk to you soon and see you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, thank you,
thank you. Thanks.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
I hope I'll talk to all the rest of you soon, too. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes. Find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or at Facebook or Instagram at awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.